Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we talk to John Costco, Pro Football Focus, as he joins us every Saturday. How you doing today, John?
I'm doing great, Garrett. How are you?
I'm doing good. Talking a little bit about Baker Mayfield here. We're getting into this analysis, and this sucks because, generally speaking, I think everybody in the country that were wearing brown and orange thought we would be in maybe a discussion as to, you know, how do the Browns, go down the stretch with maybe a one or two team race in the AFC North with the Steelers or the Ravens or some different combination of that, and talking playoffs, talking, you know, maybe MVP races. But now we're 2-6 and we're looking up and down this division, and we see the Ravens playing well. We see what the Ravens were able to do in making the New England Patriots look silly as far as what Lamar Jackson was able to do. But then I see this article, and you know, you look up and you see Mason Rudolph is 3-2 as a starter. And you're like, man, Josh Allen is 6-2 as a starter. And you're just like, man, how did we get this far with Baker Mayfield being 2-6? When you look at his play on the field and with the play and the numbers, is Baker Mayfield's numbers as bad as 2-6, or is it a little better than what the 2-6 shows?
It's better than what the 2-6 shows. The issue for the Browns this year is that, let's look at the quarterbacks you mentioned. Josh Allen, he has a worse passing grade than Baker Mayfield does. Baker Mayfield's grade isn't great this year. It's at a 70.7 overall, 69.4 passing. He's brought down a little bit by a couple of fumbles and any runs that he's done. Haven't really been successful over the course of the season. He's had a couple of good runs there, but then you look at Josh Allen, his passing grade is a 60.4. His overall is at a 58.9. He's had a lot of fumbles with troubles with fumbles this year. Mason Rudolph is even worse. He's down at 48th overall in our grades, and at a 52.8. So you look at these guys, that they're not grading out very well at all. It's because the team around them is so much better than what the Browns have done this year. And, you know, there could be some, like, leadership qualities to that you might go, hey, that these guys are somehow elevating their team around them despite them playing really poorly. But I come back to that where, like, if your quarterback is playing really poorly and you're still winning games, it means other factors are boosting your grades, or you're boosting your team to wins. Whereas for Pittsburgh, they have one of the top defenses in the NFL. Their offensive line is excellent. They've got weapons outside in Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington really coming on. Their running backs have been really solid for them this year. So they also got the scheme that puts it together. And they've had years and years and years of success of winning, and that coaching staff knows how to do that. Josh Allen, you've seen this year, the Buffalo Bills, 6-2. Really excellent defense, one of the top defenses in the NFL. The offense has not been very effective, but their defense has been so good. You saw them. They're one of the few teams that are able to shut down what Tom Brady this year in the New England Patriots and almost come away with a win there. And that was nothing to do with Josh Allen. He was actually really bad in that game. So you look at how the teams around them have played, and the coaching staffs basically put them in the positions to win those games despite the quarterback play. Whereas Baker is still, yes, he's not playing as well as he did last year. He's struggled. He's not hitting the big time throws that we saw from him last year deep down the field. And in fact, 30 plus yards down the field, he's attempting those about half the time he did last year. A lot of that has to do with how defense have been playing them. But when he does attempt them, he's not been hitting those plays. He's actually, making misses, throwing a couple more interceptions. Last year he had, 471 yards, four touchdowns, and just one interception on those deep shots. under Freddie last year, and this year he's down at like three catches out of three. He's like 3 for 13 for 117 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. So those are the things you look at there, where it's the team around him is not as playing as well. Everything, you can see it from your eye test. Everything is off sync. There's a lot of missed timings in the routes. People not getting to the right depth on their routes. And then when they do try to take a deep shot, you've got a miscommunication on the offensive line. You saw that last week with a sack where you had Wyatt Teller and Chris Hubbard looking at each other like, hey, you were supposed to block him. No, you were supposed to block him. And it ends up being a sack because you're trying to do a play action fake with a deep shot behind it. And so you need that extra protection. And when you get none of it, you get a sack. And so that's where the issues with the Browns have been, and why those other guys have got much better records.
When you look at it from a perspective of, in these last eight games, do you look at it from a perspective of, when we look at Freddie Kitchens and we talk about the offense, we saw the report, and I don't know if you saw that, about, the plays where on third down, it seems like the Browns are running pretty much the same formation group, and they're running pretty much the same type route combinations on third downs when they get us in a certain down and distance. Have you seen some of the same type things, or did you see those reports? And what if you have, have you seen any sort of trends where you see the Browns are more predictable in down the distances as far as what their playbook is showing?
I didn't see the article that you're referring to, but from what I've looked at and just seen when watching the game and grading the games, they do become predictable in what they try to do. You look at it's first and 10. They like to try to run the ball more closer to lower in the league average. So you're obviously looking at hey, they're going to run the ball on first down, second downs. If they're second and long, they're looking passing it, which is a good thing to do when you're in second and long. You don't want to run it again and put yourself into third and long, which is a more likely outcome than if you were passing it. And then when you're in third and long, you're kind of limited in what your options are. Yes, you can become more creative in what you're doing, but also I come back to, like, if they're running a lot of the same formations, a lot of the same plays, because they're not executing on their assignments, and if they get too complicated, they miss on those. And you've seen that where, like, with running the wrong routes, you've seen that a number of times from multiple different players, OBJ, Nick Chubb, when he gets put out there, any of the other backup tight ends that have been out there. So that's an issue. So if Freddie Kitchens is, hey, these guys aren't running the right routes when we're putting them in these more exotic looks, let's make it simple and just line them up and, these are the routes you're going to run and execute those. And then it becomes much more difficult if you're not if you can't run your whole playbook from third and long situations. Obviously, you're going to become predictable, and it's easier to stop. And that would be one of the reasons why the Browns are so poor on their efficiency on third downs, because they can't switch it up. Because I go back to coaching this. If they can't figure it out, like what your plays are on third downs, and you're looking for maybe some different looks and stuff like that, That's a coaching issue. You've got to be able to somehow get your players to be properly coached up to execute those plays.
Talking to John Costco in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When you look at this game and you look at transitioning to the game on Sunday, the Bills coming in 6-2 and the Browns, 2-6. When you look at this game, it's Baker Mayfield obviously versus Josh Allen, and it will be Bills versus that, and they'll give you the nauseating comparisons in the 2018 draft class and all that good stuff. But like you said, it'll come down to defense, and it shows that the Bills have a really good one, and the Browns haven't had so much of a good one. One of the things that's been overshadowed by the struggles of the Browns offense is the perceived struggle by the Browns defense. Like the Browns, they're Jekyll and Hyde. Some days they can stop the run. Some games they can't. Some games one thing that's not been Jekyll and Hyde has been true over the long sustained period of time, seems like since 99, is they just can't seem to tackle. I mean, when they, you know, you miss a tight end three, four, five, six times, and the tackling has just been poor. What have you seen, you guys seen as far as their tackling grades are concerned, and as far as their run grades are concerned with the Cleveland Browns, and the contrast between why the Bills are so great with the, as far as the defensive side of the ball is concerned versus the Browns?
Yeah, so Bills defense is like I said earlier, and what you've said there has been really good this year. Their run defense is where they've struggled, but you have to be able to pass the ball to win games. You saw that last, you know, you've seen that past couple weeks. They're 6-2. They're giving up a lot of yards on the ground, but they're still winning games because their secondary is so good. So you have to be able to, yeah, you're going to be able to run on them. But Baker's going to have success throwing the ball against a defense that's one of the top defenses in stopping the pass. They have our coverage grade is the fifth best coverage grade unit of any defense out there at 82.0. When it comes to, you know, for the Browns and how bad or good they've been really bad. So we have them as a 30th ranked defense overall. Coverage wise, they've been poor. Tackling, like you said, 49.5 grade, one of the worst in the NFL there. And yeah, like when you have one of the guys that is now off the team because of his social media rant after the game, and Jermaine Whitehead, who was one of the worst on the team at tackling, and his grade overall was one of the worst at 41.1. So he's gone, and you might be bringing in a Justin Burris to replace him, and who's been actually shown pretty well and so far that, you know, the limited snaps that he's had this year. So that might be a positive for the Browns there. But it's just going to be, from a defensive perspective, they need to get better and quickly. The good thing is that, like, defensive performance is actually not all that stable, like week to week, year to year, on just how good it is. You saw it where the Patriots defense has been at an historic level, and then just got roasted against the Baltimore Ravens just on Sunday Night Football. So the Patriots have a bunch of better defense. They're still really good, but at any time, it's defensive play is more dictated on how good the offense is. And if the offense is clicking, they can move the ball on them.
And you look at that defense, the Browns defense, and it's just been disappointing because of what they've built it to be. One of the people that I just haven't, you know, Olivier Vernon, to me, from what my eyes tell me, it looked like he played better the last couple of weeks as far as maybe getting pressure, he had a couple sacks and a few pressures the last couple of weeks, but I just haven't seen Sheldon Richardson at all. I just haven't seen him making that many plays. I haven't seen Morgan Burnett very much. He's listed as a starter, but I just don't really see him doing anything. Maybe it's just me, but though, you know, some of the guys that they brought in, as far as, you know, thinking that they were going to solidify positions, just haven't seemed to just, you know, do the job as far as what I'm seeing with this defense. And I'm still confused as to them using this 4-2-5 front. And I don't know. I don't know what Wilkes – it's just me. But it's just I haven't seen the level of production that I would like to see from some of the guys that they brought in.
Yeah, Olivier Vernon, like you said, has been much better in recent weeks. Week 6 against Seattle, he had a 92.9 grade, was excellent against the run there, very effective rushing the passer. So he was hitting in the next week, 85.8. Last week against Denver was a 71.2, not as good, but still, like, you are correct. In recent weeks, he's been a lot better and more billed as, you know, what kind of, you know, we expected from Olivier Vernon after that trade. His overall grade of the season's an 81.7, which is the second best on the defense behind Myles Garrett. So that's been good. Sheldon Richardson, the thing about him, and I think a lot of people kind of don't understand about him, he's more of a flash in a pan type player, and he has all the talent in the world, but in our grades, he's never shown to be a really actually elite type player. He's always been good, not great. This year he's at a 71.1, which is actually the third best on the defense, but it's not something that is going to impact the game at a level that you maybe has a reputation of what he everybody expects him to. You know, his grades over the course of the season, he's had 1 year in his career, when that was 2014, where he was above 80, and that was an 84.6. Every other year after, you know, since then, has been, you know, in the low 70s. So he's a good player, but he's not one of those players where he's going to just, like, dominate a game or even dominate multiple games. He's going to be solid for you in the middle, but he's not, you know, he's going to miss on some run fits, which happened in this game, and because he maybe overestimates what his abilities are. So, yeah, he's been, I guess, you know, from maybe a perspective of expecting him to be this all-world beater and, like, almost like a not quite at Aaron Donald's level, but maybe up there. He's not that, never has been. But then you talk about Morgan Burnett. Yeah, he's also not a player that you're going to expect to have a lot of plays from. He's a guy that's going to be in the right positions at the right times. He's going to fit his run gaps properly. He's not going to be out of position on those. But he's not going to be a great coverage defender. And so you got him in there to maybe be that veteran presence. His grade this year is a 68.2, which is obviously not good. It's not terrible, though. And that's kind of been his career norm. You know, last year's a 66.7. Best year he's had was a 75.6. So he's not a guy that is going to be, like, constantly making plays and impact plays. He's just going to be one of those reliable guys that's going to be in the right positions. And so you'll never actually kind of really notice him unless he makes a bad play, which doesn't happen all that often. He only has two missed tackles this year. So that's, you know, that's a positive from the Browns' perspective. So, yeah, I mean, bringing this defense together, a lot of people expecting it to be a, you know, top 10, top 5 type defense, and they had that potential on paper. But then when you lost Denzel Ward for, you know, multiple games, and also Greedy Williams for multiple games, it makes the whole defense worse because, A, Greedy Williams is the rookie. He needs those reps to have those ebbs and flows and learn and look back for the ball and be in the right positions. Even with Denzel Ward, as good as he was last year in coverage, you know, he's still a young player, and as, like you saw against that on that catch against Cortland Sutton, he needed to go up and attack the ball rather than let it come and fall into his arms because you saw it was you know, Sutton attacked it and made the catch and Denzel didn't.
All right, John, man, I appreciate you. Hopefully, we can get a win. We will talk to you again next week, and we will reconvene.
All right. Always a pleasure, Garrett.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. That was John Kosko on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.